Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
All right, we're going to set aside politics and a few other things for most of the show today. It is October, as you know. And something that we deal with, we need to deal with it more regularly, but certainly a few times a year, and especially in October, which is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men have been victims of violence by an intimate partner within their lifetime. 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men have been victims of severe physical violence by an intimate partner in their lifetime. And domestic abuse, if you've ever seen this wheel of power and control, is about a lot more than just the physical. So if you don't have a black eye or a broken bone or a laceration, that does not mean you aren't the victim of domestic abuse. Domestic abuse shows up in a lot of different ways. And unfortunately, most of you do not feel comfortable talking about it. You just kind of suffer in silence. The church has an awkward reaction. Well, might tell you that no matter what, you can't get a divorce when you walk in there and you're already being abused, and that doesn't help. So the church has a lot to learn. Very delicate, very difficult subject, but one that's touching a lot of lives, just like abortion. And the only way you can really find any healing is to drag it out of the darkness and bring it into the light. But with a lot of love and compassion and with a lot of hope and help from people that know what they're doing. And so whenever we go down this road, we always are, find it a joy. Did you get that? That was pretty good. To bring Joy Forrest back in from Called to Peace Ministries, Called to Peace, T-O, Peace, calledtopeace.org is the website. So Joy is here. And then our friend, our good longtime friend, Amber Lehman, who is one of my heroes. I say this when you call in. I'm willing to say it to your face because she's been a pro-life wonder woman for years, has a great pro-life story herself, and has done great work for the kingdom, but now also a board member. And you actually hosted Joy once when I was out of town, and you guest hosted the show.
Yeah, last year.
How'd that go?
It was great. It was a lot of fun.
I didn't listen.
Well, that's because you had so much confidence in me.
Yeah, that's exactly right. See,
you didn't need to check behind.
Amber's all over. What are you? I don't need to worry about that. It's like, hey, Lord, can you take care of things? Sure. I mean, what am I going to do? Check up on them? Of course not. Yeah. But thanks for doing that. And Joy and Amber, thanks for being here. This is an important month. And we don't want it to get overshadowed, as it probably is, by whether it's COVID, which comes into this conversation, or the presidential election, everything going on there. But this is something that happens all the time. Doesn't matter who the president is. Doesn't matter which political party is in play. Doesn't matter whether it's an election year or not. Unfortunately, every year, every month, every week, and every day, domestic abuse is happening. How bad is it out there, Joy? And then what are you hearing just in terms of the impact of COVID? Because that's a big deal as well.
Well, we've heard that statistics vary from area to area, but I have heard anywhere from 25% to a 40% increase in physical injury. And then we know how it's impacted the courts, and things are tied up or postponed, or people are not able to get protective orders. Sometimes the shelters are closed, and maybe in many places, and maybe we'll only provide a night or several nights in a hotel. So it's impacted the ladies we work with hugely. So intensely.
Yeah. Yeah. And a big deal. And Amber, a little bit about you getting involved with the ministry and then getting on the board from your perspective. And you've dealt with this because you've been in the pro-life movement for a long time. You've helped a lot of women that are in the midst of an unplanned pregnancy. And I'm sure you've seen it a lot in that context as well.
Yeah. 25% of women seeking an abortion are a product of some type of domestic abuse.
Do you think that the general public, inside and outside the church, Joy, do you think that we have much awareness, or is it awareness with an asterisk, and this is a huge problem when we're just not really dealing with it?
I think the church is starting to wake up, maybe because of the Me Too movement. I'm not sure why, but we are starting to wake up more about the sexual abuse and things like that that have happened. I think that people, even though they're saying that they recognize it's a problem, and a lot of churches are trying to do a much better job of handling it, it's still hard to recognize. It's counterintuitive, so it doesn't look like abuse in so many cases. Abusive people tend to be very charming and easygoing. They look like the salt of the earth, and many times victims look like basket cases. They're stressed out. They've got traumatic stress disorder, And so it's because it's so hard to recognize, I think we're still missing it quite a bit.
Yeah, and like I mentioned before, I mean, this is right from the power and control wheel, okay? So especially if you, and Amber and Joy are going to really encourage you, if this is you, that you need to reach out, you need to get help. You do not need to suffer in silence, whether you're inside the church or not. There are people that will love you and care for you and help you work through this. But using intimidation, using emotional abuse, using isolation, minimizing, denying, and blaming, using the children, using male privilege, using economic abuse, and using coercion and threats. And I did not, if you notice, I did not say physical abuse. So all those other things fall under that umbrella. This is a massive problem. But most women, I would assume you guys, suffer in silence, right? So why does that happen?
They don't even know what to call it. They don't even know to call it abuse. They're not identifying it as that. They're identifying it as, you know, he just has a hot temper. He's had a bad day at work. He's under a lot of pressure. He's, you know, he's just in a bad mood. He just wants to protect our finances. I'm not that good with money. He's better with money. And so they're calling it something else. They're not even sure that it warrants getting help. And he's not going to let her go just talk to somebody.
Right. Yeah, because, and again, this, we're talking 95 to 98% is the woman being abused, right? It does happen to men. So if you're out there and you've been down this road, gentlemen, that we're not denying that it happens to you because it does. But the overwhelming majority is for women. And Joy, as somebody that's been down that road yourself, why did you choose to suffer in silence for so long? And then what kind of a partner or a husband, what are they doing in order to kind of control that situation? What does it look like?
Well, for one thing, I suffered in silence because just what Amber said. I did not recognize that as abuse. I lived with it for 23 years, 8 years of dating, 15 years of marriage, and I'd never called it abuse until the final year of the marriage when my life was almost taken. And so the way that it would play out was that there might be an explosion in the house, so we would go to our pastor usually or a counselor for marital counseling. And he was so skilled, and it seems to be the common thing that happens, at turning it around. So the focus of the counseling session would be on me and what I was doing to make him so angry.
Mm.
So, and that's what happens, is that people are treating domestic abuse like a marital problem, and it's not. It would be like having somebody who's got an addiction and bringing the wife in and say, what are you doing to make him use drugs?
Wow. Such a powerful point. We're talking to Joy Forrest and Amber Lehman from Called to Peace, calledtopeace.org, CalledToPeace.org. It is Domestic Violence Awareness Month and a matching gift grant. Some money needs to be raised in order to help them, and you'll be amazed at how many people are calling in every month for help. So make sure you go to calledtopeace.org. We'll keep talking about it. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Hey, Steve, we're just shooting him. Go, we're live.
She blew everything to pieces.
Welcome back. That's live radio for you, right in the middle of a conversation. And we're back live on the radio, but that's fine. That's the way we play here. October is a very important month, not because we're coming up on the election. That's obviously important. But Domestic Violence Awareness Month, who is your one out of three? That's a great question, because one out of three women are affected by domestic abuse in their lifetime. So there's a good chance that it's you. And if it's you, you want to go to calledtopeace.org. Joy Forrest is here, the founder, and then Amber Lehman, who's also on the board. But Joy, how many people are reaching out to you on a monthly basis now?
So I went and counted, and last month it was over 150.
Wow. So 150. What was it like 2 years ago?
Maybe 20 or 30.
Yeah. So it's exponential growth, which isn't great, but it is a great opportunity. So we need to remember that. That's why the campaign goal this month, $40,000. So that it's just, I'm just right at the website, calledtopeace.org. Donate today to provide lasting hope and healing for the women who represent the one out of three in your life. It could be you. It could be somebody you know. It could be somebody you know and you don't even know that it's happening. That's one of the challenges. So that's why we're talking about this. And Joy, thank you for several years ago when you just were dogging me to get on the show, and I was a jerk and not being sensitive enough to obviously something that's a big deal. And we need to talk about it. We need to talk about it more often than not. But Amber, we don't hear about this that much. You being somebody that's been in the pro-life world for a while, do you guys talk about it much? Domestic violence and domestic abuse?
I mean, yeah. I mean, we have to at least with the girls, right? I mean, they're coming in and we're having to get them out of bad situations.
Yeah.
Having to get them into different housing very quickly. That's one of the hardest things is when Human Coalition or Call to Peace clients are, it's housing. There's a low inventory. It's too expensive.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of affordable housing. And a lot of times the credit has been beaten up and they just can't get on their feet. And so that's what one of the things I love about Call to Peace is that it's very practical. There's emergency funds. There's get them out of the situation today.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, my home is open. I have a room at my house that I'm like, if somebody needs to leave today,
yeah,
they can come to my house and my neighbor will sit on the porch with a gun.
Wow. Because, Joy, if we don't, we can rescue people out, but if we don't have somewhere for them to go, what happens?
Right.
It's like they recidivism. They go right back.
Well, and that's what happens anyway. I used to work at a domestic violence shelter, and they would come, and now the limit of time that they can stay at the shelter is usually 30 to 60 days at most. And if they don't have their life together and a job and transportation, then so many go back just because of financial reasons. So you see that on the power and control wheel. Financial abuse is one of the number one reasons they
return.
And
how can she get herself together in 30 to 60
Nobody
days?
Can.
Yeah, you can't.
You've got traumatic stress, right?
And she's in completely in crisis, and you're going to go interview well?
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Come on,
right.
Come on. So
we
need to be able to bridge that gap for them, and that's part of being the church, and I've said this for years.
Yep.
In the Human Coalition world as well, is that you have to get outside of this idea that volunteerism, like that impacting somebody happens in a 2 or 4 hour shift. Those are important.
Yeah.
But you have to live life on mission. And that means you have to be uncomfortable. And that means
somebody might
have to live in your house or borrow your car or, you know, and we're so worried about our possessions and our own safety that we don't want to put ourselves out on the ledge there to do that. And that's what somebody needs. She needs 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least.
Really, just to go through counseling and stabilize and, you know, figure out who she is and how, what's she good at. She's probably been oppressed from her skills and that type of thing to be able to, and then you need business owners who are willing to take somebody who doesn't have a resume.
Yeah, and give them a shot.
And to give them a shot. And so it's just hard. You know?
Yeah.
And the church has to live sacrificially.
And we also talk about this, and Katie on Facebook Live brought this up, that it's not just the abuse victim, which most of the time is a woman, but their children. Teens can be affected, preteens. I mean, this is a bomb that goes off, and there's all kinds of collateral damage. And I wouldn't even call them collateral damage because they're right in the blast zone. So they're getting directly affected, just like the woman in most cases. So what are some of the biggest challenges that you face, Joy, when one of these 150 or so women, mostly women, calling in every month, when you're going to engage and they're ready to engage and they're ready to get help? What are some of the biggest challenges that you face?
Well, I will say that, first of all, only about 2/3 are survivors or victims of abuse, and about 1/3 are pastors, churches, counselors, people helpers. So we are making progress there, and that's what we need, is we need to get the church engaged, because we just have such limited resources.
Right.
We can't be everything for everybody, but we do have advocates. We have support groups that we can plug them into that are faith-based, and actually you're talking about how to heal from post-traumatic stress. That's one of the ways we have... in that curriculum, we actually have a whole chapter with all sorts of information on how to heal after domestic abuse. And the kids is one of, that's been one of my, I guess, the thing that breaks my heart the most. These children, I can't tell you how many children have been hospitalized with suicidal ideations. They have a depression. They become almost belligerent towards their mom. A lot of times they get brainwashed by the abuser. So it's just watching what happens in the family dynamic, and it seems overwhelming. And I remember when I first got into it, I said, Lord, what am I going to do? This is impossible. And God happened to remind me that, Joy, your situation was impossible, and I got you through it. You can't be everything to everybody, but if you point them to me, I will part the Red Seas when
yeah.
I'm
coming. Amen. That's right. We're talking to Joy Forrest and Amber Lehman from Called to Peace Ministries, calledtopeace.org. It's a T-O in there, okay? Calledtopeace.org, and this month, Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and all the other abuse that's a part of that, not just physical. Campaign this month for $40,000. There's a matching gift, right?
We have a matching grant of $15,000, and this is going to go towards providing personnel to be on the ground to man
front line.
All those calls.
Front lines. And Amber, you've been dealing with it like I have, but you've been dealing with it at a much higher level. Fundraising for years for not-for-profits and the pro-life and in a ministry like Called to Peace. What's your challenge to people Because, listen, in the body of Christ, we don't have a resource problem. We have an allocation problem. Everything that we need to fully fund Called to Peace or anything else is there. It's not a matter of do we have it. It's what we do with what we have. So how do you kind of handle that conversation? And you're kind of in a similar vein here with the pro-life situation, trying to save the life of an unborn child, as well as help the mom and the dad if they're willing, and then Called to Peace when you're dealing with domestic abuse. What kind of angle? How should people think about supporting, financially supporting?
Well, Christ rescued us, and he's called us to rescue others. That's the bottom
line. Yeah, period.
You know, and I think we are living in times where people feel uncertain. You know, what's going to happen after the election? What's going to happen to my job? What's going to happen to this? I think there's just this, everybody's on edge. Everybody it just has this uncertainty cloud over them. And I think we have to push past that. You know, I'm making a career shift after 15 years of salary and benefits. I'm making a career shift to full commission real estate. If you need to buy or sell a home, please call me. and you know, but I felt like God said faith over fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, take a step, make your $1,000 pledge, go out, raise $1,000.
That's a great point.
And then also make a monthly pledge, because I'm your provider.
Yeah.
Nobody else
that?
Is.
Yeah.
Right. And so I did that as a board member. I felt like I needed to lead by example. Right.
Yeah.
But
amen.
You know, that's it. Like, maybe you can't give, maybe you're too uncertain to give, and that faith over fear isn't quite there for you. You can go out and raise money.
Yeah. What a great point.
You
Joy,
can raise
I know you wanted to say something. You got
There's
15
a
seconds.
There's a crowdfunding link on our page. So if you go to
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So you can go on your Facebook page or Instagram or whatever, create your own, and ask your friends to get involved. And you know, if you've been listening to the show for a long time, you know what I'm going to say next. Knowledge, with knowledge comes responsibility. Now you have knowledge, and the responsibility ball is firmly in your court. What are we going to do to support this effort for Called to Peace, Called to Peace Ministries? CalledToPeace.org. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. October is the month before the election, Steve. Yeah, I know. But that's not what we're talking about today. That's, of course, important. But this one goes on whether there's an election or not. Doesn't matter who's in the White House. Doesn't matter who's in control of the state legislature, the federal legislature. Doesn't matter what's going on at the federal, state, or local level. Domestic violence and domestic abuse continues unabated in a lot of cases. And that's why we're talking to Joy Forrest today, as well as Amber Lehman from Called to Peace Ministries, calledtopeace.org. That's C-A-L-L-E-D-T-O, calledtopeace.org. And you can go there and you'll see right on the home page, because it's Domestic Violence Awareness Month here in October, they have an opportunity to support this. You heard Joy say earlier about 150 calls a month, and they're kind of overwhelmed. Things have grown tremendously over the year, which we praise the Lord. That's just over the last couple years. But that's a bad thing, too, because you got to have the ability to meet those needs when those needs come to your door. And that's happening a lot. That's why we're all being given an opportunity right now to support, in this case, Called to Peace. So if you go to the website, calledtopeace.org, or I put the links up already on Facebook Live, I'll put it up again. There's some matching dollars out there trying to raise $40,000 this month. And just please prayerfully consider that. And it should be a no-brainer. Now, especially if you are somebody that's been down this road or are currently in it, then please do us a favor. Share this. Get the podcast when it comes out in a day, or the Facebook Live, and share it. Send it to other people, because you do not know. When it's one out of three women going down this road, you can assume that that's going to be applied to your Facebook page, your Instagram followers, your Twitter account, whatever. And there's a lot of women out there and some men that need this help, are afraid to ask, they're afraid to bring it up, and so they suffer in silence. And so we can all be a part of the beacon of light to help bring that out of the darkness into the light so they can get some help. So we're just going to do this segment, then we'll have North Carolina Lieutenant Governor calling in for his weekly call. Dan Forrest will call in the fourth segment. And we're going to talk about choosing hope over fear. That's what we're going to address in the last segment of the show. But Joy, just words to women out there, and if there's some men listening that are in the middle of this, and I ask you to do this every time, just words of encouragement and empowerment as to what should they do. They know this is them, but they haven't done anything about it yet. What do you say to them?
Well, I always think Hosea 4:6, people perish for a lack of knowledge, and I certainly did. I didn't know, you know, that I was even in an abusive relationship, so I had to learn. And so somebody told me about a program we went out, and when I saw that Power and Control wheel, for the first time, I started crying because I realized this relationship that I had always denied that it was abusive was, mm-hmm. and I had been in mm-hmm. it all along. And I think that even 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, love is patient, love is kind. That description of love is the exact opposite of abuse. If you can mm-hmm. say that, you know, you see everything in the opposite of what I'm talking about in 1 Corinthians 13, then you are probably in an abusive relationship, and you can reach out to us at Call to Peace. We won't try to pressure you to go one way or the other. We'll just listen. We'll help confirm, yes, we think this is destructive, or we will say, no, maybe not. But, you know, we will help you sort it out, and then we will help you find resources. We'll connect you with resources and our support groups that are faith-based. And, you know, I didn't want to go to the world for answers, so... to have a scripture-based curriculum that you can look at and that will help you find the truth and healing.
Yeah. Amber?
Yeah, I think one of the symptoms that you might not think of but could be a red flag would be if you are super hyper-aware. Like you're reading the temperature of the room. You're reading the temperature of the person. That's a good indicator that things are definitely not right. And I think also I want to make sure that we invite those who are realizing that they are abusive into the help as well.
A great
point. We help them too.
Yeah.
Right? Because if they can change,
mm-hmm.
you know, wow, what a testimony to the Lord. What a testimony to the marriage. You know, if he can change and she can not live in fear.
Yeah.
With him, and they can have a wonderful, vibrant marriage. Like that's a beautiful outcome.
Amen.
We would love to see that outcome.
Amen. Joy?
We would love to see it. We know that it's very rare. I think one of the reasons it's very rare is that there hasn't been effective help. But even with good help, it's less than 50% of those folks will change. But our goal for January next year, 2021, is to have groups for men because we know the group dynamic works better for men who mm-hmm. use power and control. So be looking out for that in 2021.
And you know, how much of this all goes back, like most issues, to the fact that 1 in 3 children are raised in a fatherless home.
Yeah, that's right.
A biological, so they're not seeing how they should treat women, or their parent, or their father was abusive, right? And so, you know, we need men to step up and come alongside men to show what it's like to love a wife, to love children, and to lead well.
And we can't. And we talk about this occasionally, but we can't be afraid. And actually, we should be involving law enforcement. And oftentimes, you sit there, and go, okay, let's just keep it in house. It's just the church and stuff. But if somebody's being hurt,
physically
hurt,
you can't call the police for emotional abuse.
No, I mean, you go to your pastor and you're being physically abused. The first thing the pastor does, even before he prays, is calls the police.
No, you put them in danger. Don't do that.
Okay. What do I know?
but you can.
That's my male.
You can encourage her to call the police.
Yeah, encourage her.
She's ready, and you help her make a safety plan.
And I'm going to come back to the power and control wheel, okay? Just so this. I'm going to put some things out here so you go, okay, this sounds familiar. Intimidation, making her feel afraid using looks, actions, and gestures. Okay, under emotional abuse, putting her down, making her feel bad about herself, calling her names, making her think she's crazy, which you mentioned earlier, playing mind games, humiliating her, isolation. Controlling what she does, who she sees and talks to, what she reads and where she goes. Minimizing, denying, and blaming, making light of the abuse and not taking her concerns about it seriously. Using the children, making her feel guilty about the children. Economic abuse, preventing her from getting on keeping a job, making her ask for money, giving her an allowance. Male privilege, treating like a servant, making all the big decisions. And then coercion and threats, making and or carrying out threats to do something to hurt her. And that's a pretty wide range of things, which is important because, like you said earlier, Joy, a lot of women wouldn't see themselves in this realm because they don't have a black eye.
Right.
But domestic abuse occurs in a lot of other ways, not just physical.
Amen. I tell people when you feel like you're walking on eggshells, I remember coming out of the abuse and a lot of people, when I used to go for marital counseling, they would go, you know, well, how did you sin? They would look at them. And I didn't recognize my sin, and I would not ever do that. That's not my first focus when I meet a woman. I want to bring healing and a restored relationship with Jesus. But my sin was making my husband bigger than God.
Mm.
I cared more about what he thought and how he was going to react than what Jesus thought, what my my father in heaven thought.
Yeah.
I was living to please him. It's the worst kind of idolatry.
Idolatry. That's exactly what it was. Yeah, so yeah. Powerful.
One of the things Joy's taught me is that abuse is always progressive. Mm-hmm. It's going to get worse.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you may only have one or two of those things happening on the wheel, and it may be able to be intervened now before it's so blown up. So if you know, even a few things that you said, a couple of things that you said
yeah.
stand out, like just make the phone call.
It tends
get
to escalate.
Get the support early. Get the support now when maybe he's still willing to get the help and recognize
right,
it.
Right.
I think it's possible when they're younger, too, that they might be a little bit more resilient and willing to change. But at the heart of domestic abuse, you're going to find pride and entitlement.
Yeah. Mm.
And the longer they're entrenched in it, and the more I submitted to it, the worse it got.
Mm.
So I definitely think that, and they won't change without some kind of consequence. You look at the Old Testament, God gave his people consequences to bring them to repentance. Mm-hmm. So staying and putting up with it and submitting to it just makes it worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so important. Now, if we're talking to Joy Forrest and Amber Lehman from Call to Peace Ministries. It is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Calledtopeace.org is the website, CALLEDTO, calledtopeace.org. And right there, the goal this month is to raise $40,000. And so you can be a part of that. You can make the donation yourself, like Amber said earlier, do some crowdfunding, use it on Facebook, use it on social media, and take advantage of that and make that kind of a difference. Don't give all your money away to politics. Just don't get consumed. I know it's important, but keep your focus on people, way more than politics, okay? So this is an opportunity to be a part of that. By the way, we've mentioned the Power and Control Wheel many times on the Facebook live feed today. So if you're not on my Facebook page, it's just the Steve Noble Show. Look it up. But on the Facebook live today, I've put several links, not only to Call to Peace, but also to the Power and Control Wheel, okay? So there's a PDF there. So you can find it, share it, put it up on social media, and let people know, hey, is this you? Do you fit this wheel at all? And if you do, now you know a place that you can send them, calledtopeace.org, and be a part of it. Just final appeals. We've got about a minute and a half left. Amber and then Joy.
Yeah. I mean, right now you can double your donation with the matching pledge and
that's
or
awesome.
Matching challenge and, you know, double it. Like, just choose faith over fear. Make a donation. You know, what I said is I'm choosing faith over fear so she doesn't have to live in fear.
Mm, that's so good. Joy?
And I just, the verse, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. And these are people who have had all the power stripped from them. And they mm-hmm. have been living in constant fear. They have been less than for years. And we are offering them Jesus' freedom.
Mm. Yeah.
Call to Peace.
And there's hope and there's help.
Yes, absolutely.
And there's a way out.
Amen.
Calledtopeace.org is the website. CALLEDTO. Peace. Calledtopeace.org. Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Please help support what God is doing through these women and through that organization. Joy and Amber, always a pleasure. Thanks for
Thank you so much
for coming in today. When we come back, you're welcome. Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back.
If you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough, stay away.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today. It was great talking to Joy and Amber. Domestic Abuse Awareness Month. Such an important topic, such an important ministry, Call to Peace Ministries. So you can check that online and make sure you support them financially this month. And like she said, 150 calls a month now, okay? When we first did radio together a couple years ago, two or three years ago, it was 20 or 30. Now it's 150 a month. It's only gotten worse with COVID and the lockdowns. And on that subject, which would you prefer? Would you rather live in fear or would you rather live with hope? Should we be replacing fear with hope at this point? And that's not a helpful political narrative on the left, but is a reality that we should all be embracing. So I said this the other day on the air, and just as a reminder, replacing fear with hope, look right from the CDC, the COVID-19 survival rates. If you're between the ages of 1 and 19, the survival rate is 99.997%. 20 to 49, the rate is 99.98%. Age 50 to 69, that survival rate is 99.5%. And for our president, who's over 70 plus, their survival rate is 94.6%. Serious? Yes.
Should it drive a narrative of fear all over the country? No. Should it drive a narrative of fear in politics and here in the great state of North Carolina? It should not, but that's exactly what's been happening. But that will change if our good friend Dan Forrest, the lieutenant governor of the great state of North Carolina, is our next will be our next governor of the great state of North Carolina. Dan, how are you, buddy? Thanks for calling in.
I am doing great, Steve. I hope you are.
I am. Thank you. And I love this. One of the themes of your campaign is really making that decision of replacing fear with hope. And fear has been used to kind of corral all of us. It's a big deal. It's a big problem. And I think it's been right at the forefront of what our governor's been doing with COVID-19 and really the whole 2020 year up to this point.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it is a fear and panic campaign going on, and they continue to try to push that narrative, and all you have to do is claim science and data. You don't have to have anything to back it up, by the way. You just say those words and the media jumps on board and tells you why you're wrong about trying to provide hope to people. But first, I mean, obviously this is your radio show, Steve. You're talking to a Christian audience. Our hope doesn't come from government. It doesn't come from a governor or a president or the CDC or anybody else. Our hope comes from Jesus Christ. And that's the ultimate hope that we have, which allows us to live life freely. But we can't live so freely that we appear calloused to the world, and especially to this disease that's going on. As you mentioned, if you're over 70, and especially if you have multiple comorbidities, then we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to protect the people that are at risk and in danger of dying of this virus. For the rest of those folks, generally below 70 years old, you've got a 99% chance survival rate here, and that should be a message of hope.
Yeah,
and especially for young folks, that's why we should have our schools open. That's why our economy should be open again. That's why we should be doing all these things.
Why do you think the fear narrative is so attractive and has been, quite frankly, so effective for people like the governor of North Carolina, Governor Cooper, and other mostly pretty much predominantly liberals around the country? Why do you think they choose the fear narrative?
Well, I mean, I think that, for the media, it must sell something. I can't figure out what new world it sells. You would think they're, be going out of business now because of their advertisers and everybody else that haven't been open for business. But, I think it started off on the wrong foot. It started off with everybody thinking, because we got these bad predictions from these universities around the world that, half the world was going to die from coronavirus. Everybody was like, wow, this thing's going to be horrible. We better brace ourselves. We better shut everything down. And then as real information started to come in a lot of states, including North Carolina, they didn't adapt to the real situation. And so they kept pushing the false narrative when there's real data out there and there's real science out there. And we could use real numbers instead of the media just pushing the number of cases, new cases that we have every day, or the total number of cases. Why don't we talk about how many people were perfectly fine or didn't have any symptoms at all, or how many active cases there are, and out of those active cases, how many of those have any symptoms at all, and out of those ones that have symptoms, how many of them have bad symptoms? Because you're going to get to a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a percent, and that gives hope to people, right? I mean, they need to have a good message. I think even the American people, Steve, I think they can take bad news if you're telling them the truth. They know how to deal with it, but when there's all kinds of doubt and cynicism going on out there, it breeds bad blood amongst our people. People start hating one another, yelling at one another, cussing each other out, giving everybody bad looks. We cover our faces up with masks and scowl at each other if somebody's not wearing a mask somewhere. And that's not good for humanity. And we've got to move beyond that. We can protect the vulnerable. We know who the vulnerable are, and we can allow everybody else to get back to life and develop that herd immunity.
Yeah, and the thing, you go, okay, herd immunity, well, that's science, and you can thank God for that, by the way. But herd immunity, 40% of people with COVID-19 are asymptomatic. 80% don't have serious enough symptoms to even require any medical help in terms of going to a hospital. So we are talking about a fraction of a fraction. And if we had hope, we should be people of hope. Whether you're a Christian or not, if you're an American that's not a follower of Jesus Christ, America has a history of being a hopeful nation. We've faced down our own demons. We've faced down other demons around the world. And we are a people of hope, but we've lost that in the political machine. What can you do, Dan, when you become governor to restore hope to the people in North Carolina and drive out that politically created spirit of fear, really?
Well, the first thing you do is you do protect the vulnerable. half of our deaths in North Carolina have come from nursing homes. Our governor currently has done nothing to protect those people in nursing homes. Even up to this day, even when the federal government, CDC, and people were saying you need to do something, even 8 months after Florida took very significant measures to protect those people, we did nothing in North Carolina. So you protect those folks. You protect the vulnerable. That's the first thing you do, and you make sure that everybody's serious about that and understands how to do that. And then you open up the economy. Then you open up the schools. Then you get rid of the mask mandate, kind of get rid of this whole fear and panic narrative that's going on out there, and start giving people real information, real data based on real science. And then I think people can get back about their lives, and once they start to do that, they'll see that there is hope out there. But while everything's shut down and people are behind their closed doors, just like you mentioned before, they're seeing lots of tragedy out there. Suicide, addiction, abuse, you name it. The mental illness, the physical illness, the emotional illness going on out in our country right now is pretty devastating.
Yeah, it's devastating. And that's the reality people need to remember. When you look at somebody like the current governor, Governor Cooper here in North Carolina, he does not trust the people, period. He trusts government. Yeah. He trusts himself. But you and I, Dan, we trust the people. I love you and care about you enough, and I respect you enough that I think that you can handle your own life. And that is a huge difference between you and Governor Cooper, between a conservative and a liberal. Or am I making this overly simplistic?
No, I think that's pretty simple. I think that's what freedom is about. I mean, we have that freedom for personal responsibility. We don't want the government to control our lives. Yes, protect us in certain circumstances, but not control our lives. And certainly not treat us like five-year-olds. And you're really treating people like five-year-olds when you have all these inconsistent decisions that are coming out, subjective inconsistencies that nobody in a football stadium this week, 7% next week, like science changed over 7 days, and now you can have 7% while some states have 25 and 50%, but you're still at 7%. Why you can open up this business but not that business? Why, you know, a church has to be closed and an abortion clinic can be open? You know, if you're going to treat people like five-year-olds and act like they don't have any sense of their own, this is the outcome you're going to get.
Yeah, well, I would love it if all those people that are being treated like five-year-olds would have a five-year-old temper tantrum on November 3rd and throw the guy out of office, because that's exactly what needs to happen. I know that the impact on the North Carolina has been devastating. We're going to be seeing that for a while. It's not just going to end this year when we turn the corner and we finally get to 2021, if it ever arrives. But are you hopeful about the future of North Carolina, Dan?
I am. Well, first, I love this state. I really do honestly believe this is the greatest state in America. Travel all over the place just like you do, and we come home here, and I love our state. I love our people. I love Southern hospitality. I love the innovation and ingenuity that comes out of this place. And we have so many great things going for us. There's no reason that has to change just because we have to learn how to live with the virus. We will do that. We'll move beyond this, and we're going to get back to not just the way things were. We're going to get back to making them better than that. I feel confident in that. But elections do have consequences, and we have 26, 27 days till the election comes up, and I think people need to be very serious about making the right choice.
When people, in kind of an elevator situation, we don't have a whole lot of time, and people are like, well, why should I vote for Dan Forrest versus keeping the current governor? A lot of people don't like change, yada, yada, yada. What are some of the biggest points you like to share with people? So why Dan, and why not Governor Cooper?
Well, I mean, right now, we've talked about it the whole show, fear and panic versus hope and opportunity for the future. I think that's a big one given the current circumstance. But I'd have somebody name one thing. Just tell me one thing. One good thing Governor Cooper has done for the state of North Carolina in the last 4 years as governor.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go radio silent, and then they're going to mess up the show because we got quiet. Yeah, there's nothing. And you'll remember this, Dan. I had Gianna Jessen on the show yesterday, who survived a saline abortion, and she was there the day that the legislature and then the governor said, no, we're not going to protect a child that survives abortion. Basically, look her in the face and say, you should be dead. I mean, it's egregious.
He went beyond that, and he said, this just doesn't happen. He said, we don't need this bill because that just doesn't happen. And there's people sitting in the audience who that has happened to. So, obviously life is absolutely critical and it should be our top priority.
Yeah, unbelievable. DanForest.com is the website to support Dan, whether that's financially, volunteering. I know they need a lot of volunteers in the next 25 or 26 days. And make sure we are all praying for Dan and Alice, their whole family, the campaign staff. This is existential, what's going on in the next 26 days in this election, which is why we need to do everything we can to support somebody, especially a brother of ours like Dan Forest. DanForest.com. Dan, thanks for calling in, buddy. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Thanks so much, Steve. Talk to you next week. Take care.
All right. Talk to you soon. Take care. We'll see ya. We'll be back tomorrow. A lot going on live tomorrow from a parking lot with a bus. But it's the Concerned Women for America bus wrapped for Amy Coney Barrett's upcoming confirmation to the United States Supreme Court. I'm going to put that information on Facebook so you can come join us tomorrow on location for the show. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.